Hello and welcome to The Write Stuff, a podcast by the Gonzaga University Writing Center. As a reminder, the Writing Center is open Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Sundays 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. To schedule an appointment, go to gonzaga.mywconline.com. That's gonzaga.mywconline.com.
Well, we have got a very special podcast here today for the Writing Center podcast. Very distinguished guests with decades of experience in higher ed. We're talking to the Vice Provost of Student Affairs, Dr. Kent Porterfield. Welcome to the Writing Center podcast.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the invitation.
Oh, thank you for fitting me in such a busy time.
No, and, not at all.
Oh my gosh, the holidays coming up, and it's a good time to be on campus.
It is. This is a fun time of the year. It's also a crazy busy time of the year, as you know. But higher ed's an interesting life, and there are just seasons that of higher education. You know, so not they obviously map with the seasons, but they're peaks and valleys, I think, in the course of an academic year. And so you come out of the midterms, which is kind of a peak, and then things kind of slow down, and then they ramp up right at the end. And that's kind of where we're at, you know, is that everyone has projects and writing to do and tests to take and final projects and is squeezing in the last minute meetings. And so it's just a busy, busy, busy time.
You know, you mentioned that writing, and that's kind of what we're here today to talk about.
Sure.
People use writing in so many different ways, and I'm really curious kind of how you will use this, just such a, it's a utilitarian skill, because it can be, it's a communication method, but it's also this form of expression. I'm just curious, how do you use writing every day, or, you know, how have you used writing
That's a great question, and a complicated question, right? Because there's, when I write personally, it's usually writing a note to someone to express appreciation or gratitude. Or from writing to myself, it's a reflection. So I'm really trying to contemplate what's going on and make sense of it. I use writing as a way to make sense of things sometimes. Professionally, it depends on the audience that I'm writing to.
Totally.
So I think about, there are a lot of different reasons why I write. Sometimes I'm writing to inform. Sometimes I'm writing to persuade or influence something. Other times I'm writing to affirm, like affirm values or affirm culture or something, you know, like that. Sometimes I'm just writing to provoke, like I'm just positing an idea and I'm trying to get folks to react to that idea. I'm not trying to necessarily lead that conversation, but I'm trying to get it started. I think there are times when I'm writing to for transparency purposes, to make something known or more explicit. Or to try to model inclusion, that writing can sometimes be a form of inviting other people in. Yeah. So my writing sometimes is an invitation. I think about writing today the way I think about communication more broadly, is that every time I write something, I assume it's an invitation for a response, that it's not just a one-directional communication. And I think students view it that way. So I'm not only writing to students. Sometimes I'm writing to parents or colleagues or our board of trustees or whatever. But it really does depend on what I'm trying to achieve. And that determines how formal or informal, what medium I choose, even what words and phrases and images and symbols that I might use.
Yeah. And you know, you can craft so many different ways to communicate with somebody. I'm curious, kind of, what's the Kent Porterfield style? You know, we talk a lot about voice in the Writing Center. How can you differentiate your paper from, you know, the thousands of others on Shakespeare? What stands out to you?
I don't know. I'm told that I write in a conversational way, that so. My communications sometimes feel like a conversation, and I think I tend to think and write in that way. Writing more formally for something, I really have to. It takes me a lot of drafts to do that, you know. And I'm trying always to use the language of the reader. sort of translating my own thoughts and my ideas into a language that's more receptive or understandable. So I would say that's more of my style. I do have, I do have certain phrases and terms that I use that people tease me a little bit about sometimes that are maybe a byproduct of where I'm from, how I grew up, mm-hmm. and the communities that I grew up in, rural farming, small town communities. People are pretty plain spoken. We use 5-cent words instead of $10 words. And so I think I have adapted in higher education, but there's still an element of that mm-hmm. in my writing, I think.
Yeah. Cool. You mentioned the drafting kind of process. what's that look like? I mean, I think of the other day I learned this brand new kind of process. This student brought in it was close to a 10-page kind of document, but it was for an assignment that was only about 2 pages. And they just wrote down a bunch of random thoughts, and it was just scattered. And then by the end of it, what kind of I helped them with at the Writing Center was they kind of plug and play all of these mm-hmm. different things. But I'd never really seen that before to that scale.
Yeah.
It was really impressive.
I tend to overwrite and then have to lean it down too,
for sure. We always say that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, I tend to do that because I do... when I think out loud, or I should say it differently, I often think with my group, with my team, I think out loud. Mm-hmm. I think I also write like that. Yeah, I pour it all out and then try to make some sense of it. But I do have some, I usually try to, sort of basic writing, I usually spend a little bit of time on introduction and context setting mm-hmm. at the beginning. Then obviously there's a body, and then I'm trying to sum it up right at the end. So, and because of the kind of writing I do, that works pretty well, right? I'm introducing something, and I can't always appreciate or expect that everybody has the same level of understanding or knowledge about it. So I'm trying to reconcile that in my writing a little bit. And then I've learned it's still hard for me to be succinct at times. I have a lot to say. I think I do anyway. So then I have to really work at being succinct. And so for me, I a lot of times will have other people read and give me feedback, mm-hmm. whether it's my colleagues. I might have a small group of students that I ask to do that with. It really depends. But I appreciate having others look at my writing. And a lot of times I'm trying to pick not just folks that that might know something about the subject matter, but I'm trying to pick different voices mm-hmm. and different experiences to read a message or to think about a communication through those different lenses. And I think I've gotten over time better at that because I'm a little more comfortable sharing an unfinished product than I used to be.
And it's a process. I love that you acknowledge that, especially so far into your just amazing career. It's a worked at skill. It's this thing that is always changing. I'm kind of curious. What's the? I mean, I've got it written down. What's the best piece of feedback? Or do you ever remember something that really stands out that you're like, wow, that really changed my writing?
That's a great question. Probably some of the best advice I've ever gotten doesn't have to do necessarily with the construction, of writing or even the technique, but about how to find my voice or passion. So I used to, during my undergraduate years, I was taking composition classes. I had a composition professor that used to say, I want to hear your passion. I want to sense your feelings or your emotions in your writing, and that you've got down. You've got down the cognitive pieces. You understand the concepts, and you can write well in that regard. But I want to hear you. I want to see you and know you in your writing. And I think about that a lot in terms of, am I helping others know me or know my intentions? Am I transparent about that? And I find that writing for me is a heart-head. I have to remind myself it's a heart-head effort. It's both heart, feeling, and it's also head, which is the consciousness and the cognition. And but I think that learning to open up myself up a little bit more transparently, being a little more vulnerable in my writing, was a good lesson I learned early, but I didn't practice it as well for a long time because it felt kind of scary to do, and I think I see it sometimes in students' writing too. I see that there's like something else there that's not being said. And so if anything, I think student affairs helps us find a language, almost a counseling language sometimes, to help pull some of that out of students and say, it's okay.
Very cool.
And actually it's more powerful, and it helps me understand and trust your writing more. And that's important, I think, that the reader trusts your writing.
Mm-hmm. I had one professor one time that would, for reflections, he would cover the name on the paper before he even saw it, and would then grade it and try to tell who it was. And that was kind of, that dictated some points, whether or not he could tell if that was, you know, the student that he thought was writing it. You know, thinking about it from a student perspective,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, obviously there are so many students that are kind of in different phases of the writing process or their writing experience. Where do you think kind of students are in today's world, and how are they approaching writing, and maybe what is Gonzaga doing differently?
It's a great question. I think students do, on a day-to-day basis at least, write differently than I learned to write, or my generation. Some of it, I think, is that we're in a world where there is a lot of information available all the time, where it's hard to hold attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I think students have learned to write in a lot shorter syntax. And I would say that social media has influenced that. Like, writing is more informal, it seems. I'll get things from students that are formal proposals that are written extraordinarily informally.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the conversation is, this is a great idea. Tell me what you're going to do. I'm going into business. And I say, let's talk about how this might get read in a corporate context. Who might be reading it? What might they be looking for? What's helpful in this communication? What's not helpful in this communication? I think that students live in a world where everything's fast.
Yep.
And where it's very informal.
I learn a new acronym every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And thank God I still have, daughters who are in their 20s who can help me. But I think that does influence. That said, students are really creative. The use of imagery and the use of multimedia in communication. Not all writing is even words. Writing, some of it today is image. Visual imagery, mm-hmm. and media convergence, and so there, which I think our students have an enormous skill advantage over even their professors, and now in certain disciplines that's probably not true, but I think it really is true that students just navigate and apply technology more naturally. But I think it has influenced writing.
Mm-hmm.
I think how much we read influences our writing. I don't think students read as much text today as maybe we did.
I totally agree.
And I think it does affect writing because, the more you read, the more you take in.
Yeah, it's experience.
I used to, in book clubs I've been in, we would spend sometimes as much time almost talking about the writing as we would about the story,
mm-hmm.
and the subjects or the storyline or the subject matter. And I always thought that was interesting about how the author writes, how the author has a particular style. And I think so when you read a lot of different things and you see that, you're more fluent in that conversation than you are if you're reading, short snippets or if you're primarily attracted to video or something like that. It's just very different. It's
mm-hmm.
very, so I don't know that we've lost the skill of writing. I think that that writing is definitely different, I think, today with students or for students than maybe it was in previous times.
Yeah, and with the reading aspect, and people write all the time. People think about how many times people are texting, and there is writing happening,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes people just aren't always cognizant of it.
A lot of shortcuts, a lot of translation.
I love, there was a phrase I read of yours where you said you're a practitioner scholar. And I think in terms of writing, it's so true that you're always kind of practicing these things and maybe not always just writing an essay, but you're just kind of out and about writing naturally. And, you know, how does that kind of tie in, or how do you kind of take that and use that in an educational context?
So what I mean in some respects is I write more today and probably more in the majority of my career. I've written more as a practitioner than I have as a scholar. So that doesn't mean I haven't published and I haven't written scholarly pieces, but that's a very different kind of writing than I do on a day-to-day basis. Even when I'm conducting a study or, you know, I still am writing it up in a more practitioner-oriented language because it's action-oriented, right? Whereas when I'm, you know, writing for scholarship, I might be writing an essay about something that I'm passionate about, or perhaps I'm, you know, writing something that's more about theory or theory to practice. And that's a very different, you know, kind of writing. The kind of writing I do in my work is more oriented toward action and toward issues, toward culture, toward an experience, toward, you know, and so I write more in those kinds of, in terms. Occasionally, I am still submitting things for publication, and when I do that, those tend to take on more of a scholarly form. And it's harder for me to do that now because I don't practice that as much. Our faculty do that because that's the writing they do. They write for scholarship and they write for publication and they're doing research, and so they're practicing it so much, and it's what they do, and it's how they are validated in that scholarly community or in that knowledge community. That's not necessarily true for me, you know, where it's not that I don't have that community, but that's not where I spend most of my time.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of to wrap things up, because, you know, of course I want to be very respectful of your time.
Oh, it's fine.
Writing is this, you know, we've talked about writing is this cool skill. Where do you think it's going in the future? I always kind of like to ask this question because, you know, it could go anywhere, especially with AI and how those things kind of come into play.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about, is we're doing a little research right now, informal, action-oriented research, trying to understand what the applications of artificial intelligence are to student affairs practice, for example. Mm-hmm. But I think AI is here, and I hope it's used for good. And I do think it's going to influence writing, because I think, you know, it can be interpreted in a lot of ways. So, for example, I think it's going to be a shortcut sometimes for students to think about how to write up something about a subject. What's lost in that, though, is learning how to write with your own voice.
Yeah.
And learning what your style of writing is, and learning how to be seen, you know, and heard in that writing. And I don't think artificial intelligence does that. It pulls a lot of information. It recognizes certain kinds of sentence structures, and it's based on algorithms. So it's not very personalized. And, you know, those with a really good eye are going to pick up on that. So your comment early about your professor trying to guess, you know, who's writing this? Well, that professor probably becomes pretty skilled at being able to say, this doesn't look like Jack's writing.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen other pieces that Jack's written, and here are characteristics of that writing. But I think it's here to stay, and I do think it will influence writing.
Do you think it'll be positive?
You know, I think there are positive aspects of it. I think we have to figure out, I think we have to think about it as, what is the pedagogy of it? How can it be used as an effective pedagogy and not a harmful pedagogy? And I'm not the expert in that, but I do believe that it allows students to maybe learn something or understanding something pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Or at least the basics of something that maybe allows you then to take that conversation away from basic, fundamental, introductory exploration of a topic or subject matter, and expand that more into the depth and nuances. So I think if you think about it like that, is does it help you establish a baseline more quickly so that you can move on? Then I think there are some real positives to it. I think it could also be a good way to teach writing, is say, what do you see in this writing that's different in this writing? And helping students understand what the value of your writing and learning a writing style is as contrasted to just using AI to produce an essay for you. Like, the content may be there, you know. Although if there's incorrect content out there, AI is not perfect, right? So it can pick up a lot of inaccurate stuff sometimes. But I still think if we're talking just about the writing, that it can be a good way for students to understand what good writing looks like, mm-hmm. you know. And that to me could be a valuable teaching tool. So what do I think? I don't know. All I can say is that everything seems to be trending in our society towards shorter, faster, quicker. So I worry a little bit at times about whether or not we are learning the skills of more in-depth understanding of topics and subjects, and whether not having that in-depth understanding is leading to more division and polarization and those kinds of things. But writing's here to stay, mm-hmm. in some form, fashion, you know, or another. And you're probably going to be sitting in this seat, and you're going to be talking to a student someday, and you're going to be comparing and contrasting how student writing is different, you know, compared to what your experience is. I think that's always been true. That if you go back in time, you know. Yeah, centuries
imagine
ago.
Imagine the people on the typewriters, and then, you know, the first computer goes along. What are these computers going to be doing?
Think about how formal, if you go back and read letters from, you know, how formal letters used to be, mm-hmm. and how informal letters became.
And it could take weeks for that letter to travel. Right. So
I think there's, I think it will continue to change. And I think the pressure on time and the availability of information and the advancement of technology is going to continue to change, you know, writing and our thinking about writing. I wish I was a smarter person and could tell you what I think that's going to mean. But it seems that if you were to go back and look over time, you would say, well, that's been true throughout, you know, recorded humankind.
Writing's adapted. It's
It really has.
Kind of changing, always.
And language is always evolving, mm-hmm. right? So
true.
I even think... you know, we used to think of writing as actual writing, in as opposed to keyboard.
That's,
you know,
typing now, pretty much.
And no, I don't even know if anybody learns cursive writing or anything anymore. So there already are just significant shifts in the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. So.
I was part of one of the last classes. My third grade class was one of the last to ever, like, learn or even spend a unit on cursive. I remember that.
But. We used to get graded on that, you know, and how neat you were. I would not want to be judged now by how I write.
Oh, my gosh. And sometimes I got to read one of those primary documents. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Jack, this is a great project. Thanks for doing this. Oh, my
Thanks for listening to The Right Stuff. Remember, to schedule an appointment with the Writing Center, go to gonzaga.mywconline.com. Thanks again.